Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening. This is Terry Dodd, and this is Walls in Our Minds. And tonight we have an exciting show. We've got the gentleman from Tesla Tech. If you guys are familiar with Nikola Tesla, the great inventor, these guys have been carrying on that heritage and bringing forth extraordinary technology. And they've got a big conference coming up at the end of this month on July 28th through the 31st. And we're going to have them tell you about that during the show tonight. And we'll be discussing a lot of that extraordinary technology. Red Beckman, are you on with me yet? Well, I'm not sure whether Red's called in yet or not, but I do believe our guests, Steve Elswick and Terry Brady, are on with us tonight. Gentlemen, are you on live? Can you hear me?
Good evening. Yes, I'm in line. This is Terry.
And this is Steve. I'm online, too.
Would you guys have an objection to me opening the show with a prayer?
I have no objection.
So if you did object, it wouldn't matter. let's pray. Almighty Father God, we're just thankful for all the ways that you've blessed us. We pray that you bless this upcoming convention for these gentlemen, and that people are able to arrive safely, and that all that is evil should be kept away from there, that good things can happen for the human race. We know that you love everyone on this earth, even those that are working against you, and it is your desire that all be reconciled with you, and we're thankful for that, and we're thankful for the opportunity that you've given us to have a relationship with you through your son, Yeshua. We ask that your spirit join us in this show tonight, and that you go before us in everything that we do and everything that we say, and that what comes forth is truth, and that it enlightens those that are listening. And thank you for my guest tonight. In the name of Yeshua, your son, we pray. Amen. Well, Steve, Terry, tell us what's going on.
Well, things are moving right along with the conference. We are having people sign up every day, you know, and I encourage anyone who wants to go to sign up. And be sure you contact the hotel and get your room, because rooms are going fast. You know, we picked up 40 rooms in just the last week, so we're going to have quite an audience there. And if you've never seen any of this stuff, this is an excellent time to come.
Give us a little taste for the kind of stuff that goes on, the kind of speakers you're going to have, you know, seminars that are happening. I know that you've got extra sessions.
Well, I just come back from the NPA conference in Washington, D.C., and one of the speakers there will be also speaking at our conference, and that will be David Talbot. And David Talbot will be introducing the concept of the electric universe cosmology, and that's the theory that goes against a lot of what we were taught in school as regards the way the Earth was formed and that. And interestingly, there was another gentleman that spoke there, and he was talking about archaeology in relation to the universe, okay, or in the electric universe. And the major problem that we have as scientists, and actually this goes across all fields, is that when we view things, we think things operate, have operated always, that we live in a steady state environment. It's always been this way and always will be this way, and change is bad. And so we are unwilling to embrace any outside ideas or that challenge the orthodoxy. But the amazing thing on the archaeology, it rolls right into with what John Maluski will be talking about, how he can grow gold and do microwave extraction of precious metals, and he's been working for years in the material sciences and that, and him and Joe Blankenship, among others. And they've come up with ways of extracting gold out of black sands and that, and it rolls right into the physics that would be behind an electric universe. So that would be one major part right there.
This is one of the guys speaking?
Yes, well, two guys, David Talbot and John Maluski.
Interesting,
and,
because, as you know, a mutual friend of ours, Mark, has been working on similar types of things. So I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
I
do know that.
He knows Mark. Sorry.
Go ahead, Terry.
Steve, I don't think Steve has met Mark yet. I've known
Mark
for 15 years.
Hopefully Mark will be coming down to the conference and joining us. So I don't know that that's been confirmed yet, but he may even be listening tonight and certainly welcome to call in and join the conversation. I just want to introduce you guys again to my co-host, Red Beckman, and let Red say hello to everybody tonight. Red?
I'm here. I wouldn't miss this for anything because this is all stuff that I've been watching and trying to pay attention to for a long, long time. So this is going to be a real treat for me to be able to hear these fellows and of course, I'll be anxious to hear what comes out of their conference. That'll be a very interesting thing. And I was wondering, are you going to it, Terry? Are you going to
get
to go?
Yes, sir.
I would not miss it for the world.
I think he was referring to this Terry. Terry.
Yeah.
You're directing
that Terry,
it, so
is all ready to go. He's all signed up and everything, ready to go.
Yep. I will be there. I'll be there on Thursday morning and staying through Sunday evening. So I'll be around to even visit with those that are sticking around late. So.
Well, you'll have to be ready to answer questions when you get back.
If I can remember it all, I'm sure there's going to be more to absorb there than I have the ability to do. But there's always the DVDs that are for sale after the conference, too, I guess. So.
Yes, for those who cannot make it but would like to, they can order the DVDs, and we'll offer a special discount for your radio show here. We'll give a 25% discount on the DVDs. Is that okay, Steve? I didn't check it with him yet.
permission, what is it, forgiveness is easier to get than permission?
Yes.
Anyway, we plan on the Thursday night show. Red, I'm planning on broadcasting from down there, and if Kate allows me to, I'm going to schedule some more shows on Revolution Radio, which will be broadcasted from right from the conference.
Oh, that would be great.
Yes, sir. So we should be able to do some on-site interviews and you know, spread the good word. But I wouldn't miss being there. I don't think there's going to be any replacement for actually meeting some of these people. I mean, I can't imagine a more interesting, more fascinating, and more energizing group than the people that will be at this conference July 28th through 31st in Albuquerque. So if anybody is available and of interest of that, you can go to the website. Terry, why don't you give them that website one time?
It's www.teslatech.com. TESLATECH, and it's .info. .com will not make it. It's got to be .info.
I put a link right in our show description on Blog Talk site, so anybody that's in our chat room, which I'm having trouble getting into tonight, but if anybody's in our chat room or watching, listening on the stream, just look in the show description, and there's a link to get to the conference information and the schedule, and it gives you a list of all the speakers and all the topics that are going to be talked about. As you're approaching this conference, gentlemen, I'm sure that some things are kind of coming forth that are maybe exciting you, that are you didn't even maybe expect to happen, and maybe you want to tell us a little bit about what's fresh, what's on your mind right now that's really got you pumped up about this conference.
Well, I think the great thing about our conference is that, you know, you can read about this stuff on the internet, you can read papers and magazines all you want, but at the conference, you can go there, meet the person, look them right in the eye, and you can tell if the guy is BSing you or not, you know. And you can also, a lot of times, look at the device, you know, operate it, and really get a feel for what's real and what's not. You just can't get that over the internet, no matter how hard you try.
And you can also get information from them that they don't normally talk about publicly. If you're working on a particular type of project, they will be very candid with you.
And, and all of our people are very gracious. You know, I've been doing this for over 30 years, and I every conference is really an uplifting experience. Even sworn enemies come to our conference and they walk away friends, so it's a good thing. And one of the things I do, and like you pray before your show, well, I pray before I even mark a date down, you know, and before I sign a contract to have it, you know. And I ask for my blessing and everything. So I think that's why, like, the people who are supposed to be there are there, and those who aren't don't show up. You know, I believe it's a protective show.
Indeed.
I know.
Well, you know,
yeah,
there's
I think
a lot
this
of
show here is one of the better ones that we've had to date. I mean, it's the best. Each one gets better and better. I mean, I can't think of a show where we actually went backwards on. You know.
Well, so far, the people that I've talked with that are associated with the Tesla Group are very different than what I run into in the rest of the business world and even in technology and engineering circles. You know, for so long, everybody has protected their positions. Everybody's so concerned about sharing information. And obviously, some of those who have controlled our money supplies and our banks and they've controlled our technology as well and held so much of this back and have actually imprisoned people and had political prisoners of people who have tried to bring technologies forth that would cut into their oil profits or their technology profits or transportation, et cetera. And I'm just not finding that with the Tesla Group. I'm finding that people are very open and very willing to share and wanting to do things that are going to move our population and our society forward in a good and healthy way. And I'm just really encouraged by the whole group that's surrounds the Tesla Group. And obviously there's some things that are proprietary. There are things that people don't want to just give away because they've got a lot of work and investment capital and labor invested in it, and that's understandable. But in general, the attitude is let's help each other move forward. And that's just exciting to me.
Well, I think, you know, you're going to find some very practical information at our conference, starting with Vernon Roth, you know, who's given a lot of lectures at our conference almost just about every year. And this year he's going to be covering the practical uses for these HHO generators, and that's like Brown's gas, which is supposed to be different than water, which is H2O. But I'm keeping my mind open on all that. long time ago, when I was first looking at Brown's gas, I've developed a theory that Brown's gas is actually a form of storing electricity, to where the gas gets in a gaseous state and expands, but just before it breaks into hydrogen and oxygen, you know. And because of that, it doesn't explode, and you can burn it, and it will actually take and fuse different materials together. I met Yul Brown in California one time, went to his lab. He ran the flame up and down my arm, and it did not burn, you know. Amazing stuff. It just turned back to water. So we have some really incredible technology there.
Yeah, you can run the flame up and down your arm, and you can cut through 6 inches of solid steel. Yeah, you run the flame up and down your arm, and it doesn't burn you.
How do you explain that?
I don't know. I'm not the researcher.
Because,
that did it.
I believe it's because of the electric form of water, and once the flame is a catalyst for turning it back into water, and it adjusts the heat to whatever material it is, and because your body is like 90% water or something like that, as long as you don't break the penumbra, it won't burn you. It just turns it back to water. I used to have a saying about Brown's gas. It's one of the most useless things out there when it comes to heating, because you can't, if you try heating water with it from the top, it just turns into water, and if you try to heat it from the bottom, it burns a hole in the pan. So finding uses for it is quite the challenge.
Interesting.
And it can also get reduce radiation with it. But what Vernon's going to do is he has some practical uses, and he's figured some various applications, and I'm interested to see what he comes back with. Using this technology, you can make yourself self-sufficient. Americans want to go around and talk about independence, but until you're totally free of the medical, the AMA and what they have in store for you, and you're totally free of the gas companies, you're not free at all. You're always a hostage.
Are we going to get some information at the conference regarding ways to get off that grid?
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Vernon will have some ideas. Paul Pantone, he developed a system using his GEET technology where you can use his technology and make a furnace that will provide cooling, heating, and enough gas left over, you could store it like you would a propane or LP and in a tank and run your cars off of it. So there's stuff out there. And you could do it using your septic tank. And if you ask Paul, he'll probably go into depth on that. Very fascinating technology out there. On the medical side, in addition to what we have on the in the program, we're going to have things like essential oils. And a lady that I know, she has two autistic children. She's 4 and 6. And she has used this technology, the essential oils, to calm them down. And they almost live a normal lifestyle because of the essential oils. And there's a lot of people who swear by the essential oils. We also have a magnetic technology. We will also have some, it's like a crystal technology where you have the purple crystals. I can't remember what the lavender crystals would be. But they're embedded in like these heating pads, you know, that you lay on. And you take a nap on that thing and you'll wake up completely refreshed, you know. And sometimes I do that at the conference when I get tired, and I'll go test out those mats and see if they really work or not. It's a good way of taking a nap and doing double duty. And you wake up completely refreshed. We will have some licensed practitioners in the area who can actually treat you for different illnesses. because, like I say, they're licensed practitioners, as well as just your regular vendors and that. So it's going to be a very good thing on the medical side, too.
Well, our producer is a hydrogeologist, but she goes by Dr. Kate, and this Revolution Radio, this network that we're on right now, is sponsored by Dr. Kate, and she was asking, what do you guys have in the area of water?
Clayton Note will be there, and Clayton Note has worked with Schoberger type of devices where you actually structure the water using these tubes that he will be bringing. And he will be given at his lecture, he'll explain how you can build these yourselves and what they actually do and how they can erase the memory of water. And a lot of people, you know, back in the 80s when I first started this stuff, we were the first to introduce the concept that water has a memory. And that memory needs to be altered, and that was by Dr. Glenn Ryan back in, I believe it was either 84 or 86. It's been a long time. But the water research has gone a long way with Dr. Emoto in Japan actually being able to freeze crystals of water and showing the different effects that different things have, like sound has on water, and even prayer. And when they pray on the water, and they take a picture afterwards, what you come up with are these perfect crystals. Even if this water came out of a polluted reservoir, they pray on that, and it changes them into a perfect crystal. Incredible stuff.
Yeah, they'll have two samples of water. One of them they'll pray over, the other one they'll curse. And then they freeze the water, and it forms crystals, like snow crystals. And the ones that have been prayed over are vibrant, alive, and beautiful. The ones that it was cursed over are all deformed and, you know, if they form at all. It's incredible stuff.
That sounds quite miraculous.
We have DVDs of his presentation for sale, and it's not at our conference, but it's one that we buy and sell off of our website. Emoto, some people know about him. There's another person going to be there. It's going to be quite interesting. I don't quite understand his physics. Maybe Steve does. Is Dale Pond, and he's going to present sympathetic vibratory physics. And he's going to be showing how to tap into the sea of energy that's around the universe. He's going to hopefully have a display of a device that will even do that at the conference.
Well, I'm looking forward to having some conversations with Dale and you guys and my buddy John from Texas, because that's going to be interesting. Terry, you've been talking to John, right?
Yes.
Has he shared with you what he's doing?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, one of the things I notice that keeps cropping up, you know, in all these different disciplines of physics is the power of thought. And that will probably bring out the strongest this time around with the Keeley stuff. But even like when you talk about John Maluski and the growing of gold, it almost seems like there's got to be an intent there for it to happen properly. You know, it's almost like dowsing, you know. If you've ever dowsed, you always have a witness, you know, and the witness is your intent to find. You know, it's like the universe operates off this whole thing of intent, you know, and if you don't intend it to find it, you're not going to find it, you know. So I find it really fascinating. You know, the whole way that the intent is coming into this. You know, it takes us into what I would call the woo-woo sciences.
Well, I'm curious, Red. Let's ask our buddy Red here. He's got more experience at these sort of things than almost any of us. Red, you ever done any dowsing?
Any what?
Any dowsing?
I've got a very simple deal. I've had it for a long, long time, the idea. For finding water pipes and gas pipes and all that kind of thing. I don't think of it as dowsing, but, you know, you can find water, of course, underground water springs and that type of thing. And all it is a couple of wood handles about 6 inches long with a hole in one end and a piece of welding rod. It's got to be about, I think, about 20 inches long or so. I don't. It can vary, and you have a sharp 90 degree bend in the. In the rod, the welding rod, so that you've got about 4 or 5 inches of it that fit into the hole in that hand, and you have one of these sticks in each hand, and your steel rods go out to the front, and you learn how to hold them so that they kind of hold a parallel position until you run over a steel water pipe or something like that, and then they will cross. They'll come across each other to be drawn. And I don't know the technical way to explain it, but the dowsing that we know about with the branch of a green tree usually. It doesn't always work for just anybody, but the gadget that I have or have had for so long, it works in anybody's hands. It doesn't make any difference. Whereas I think that the green tree branch, it does make a difference. And there's all kinds of different ideas about how it works. And one fellow told me that... anybody that really works with a dowsing, that they cannot wear a wristwatch, a battery-operated wristwatch, because they've got so much electricity in their bodies. And whether that's true or not, I don't know. But what I'm talking about is simple stuff. I'd rather hear this about the stuff that these guys are talking about on the program here, because and of course this blessing and praying over water and cursing it, I really like to know more about that, because it sounds so far out, but. What we find what we hear that it seems like it's far out, it just demonstrates that we don't have the talents, we don't have the ability, and such that a lot of people do have, and so you know, you just don't discount what people are doing and how they're doing it with the things, but you got to recognize these people that have great minds. They know how to use their mind to think through these things and make them work. So my hat is off to them, and it's just a great idea to have them back on this program.
Well, gentlemen, there you have it from the voice of experience. What have you got comments to that to say?
Well, recently I've been corresponding with a person who does dowsing, and he is discovering wells of, I guess they call it prime water, water that has never reached the surface of the earth. And he's finding these deposits in Africa in the Sahara, where it has never rained, at least in since they've been taking records. And he has a 96% find rate. They drill it and they get down to this pristine water that apparently or supposedly has some real healing properties. And if you use it on crops, it makes them grow a lot faster. You can produce a head of lettuce that normally takes 65 days. He can produce in 20 days. So that's exciting. I need to know more about that. I haven't talked to Mole that much yet. I've been tied up with the conference here, so I'd like to get him to come, but he can't make it this year. He's over in Africa.
Well, this dowsing and everything, it all ties back into the space-time continuum, you know, and how we're interconnected to it. And Leah, she will be doing a presentation on Friday night, which is supposed to be tying a lot of this stuff together, and during her lecture on holodynamics and the science of consciousness and how you can change the world around you through your thought patterns and how you affect things with your thought patterns. We're also going to have Marco there, Marco Roden again, and Marco's developed this this antenna coil. And he truly believes that he could probably create a black hole in on a tabletop. I'm of the belief that just because we can do something doesn't necessarily mean we should do something. You know how that goes. You know, sometimes it gets you into trouble. And but a lot of people picked up on this technology, and they've developed all kinds of different applications of medical energy, high speed, efficient motors. And then we have we're going to lose one of our speakers. That would be Bruce. He won't be able to come at the last second. But we have a replacement for him from Mexico, whose name is Jorge Contreras, and he's in the Roden coil field. He is world-renowned as one of the best builders out there, and he's come up with these devices where you can actually pull the energy right out of the environment in the middle of the desert, you know, and run a little generator or have to power appliances. The coil itself is the generator. So it's really going to be incredible stuff that we're going to have on display and also during these lectures and that. And if you've never been to a conference before, this would be a great way to get introduced to one. We try to keep the cost down. We have a $79 night room rates at the Marriott Pyramid North. That includes breakfast and free internet. And if you have children, we have a lot of children there that's going to be there of various ages. And so they're welcome, too. Well, we're trying to figure out how we're going to get some activities going. A lot of mothers want to get involved with that. And they even have some meals for children that are very low price, you know, for the family budget there. So we're working on all the different angles.
Well, that's great because, you know, it would be good to be able to get anybody there, whether they can, you know, it shouldn't be something that I know that you have to cover your costs. You can't come out of pocket on this kind of stuff. But it sure would be great to get people there that, especially in with this economy where people are hurting, every nickel counts. And I know that this is a profitable situation. People could come and learn about some things here that they could go back to their communities and actually perhaps even find a way to make a living in a unique way. So I do look at this conference as an investment, but at the same time, you want to make it as affordable as possible for everybody. We appreciate you doing that.
Well, I know the value of a dollar. You know, at least twice, maybe more times in my life, I have lost everything I ever owned, you know, to the point where I just had the clothes on my back, you know. So having
me
a lot
too.
Of money isn't, it doesn't turn me on. It's not my bag. But we have been doing this despite that. And just about every penny we get, you know, I guess plowed back into this one way or the other. And it's a great conference. We have this gentleman coming from Germany, Dr. Ludwig, and he's going to be just demonstrating this magnetic current apparatus and give us a report on this device, which literally just pulls the energy right out of the air and puts it into a circuit where it can be used. This stuff is not new stuff, some of it. This was first tested in 1925 in an institute in Berlin. Yeah. So the question always comes back to is why can't we have this? And right now we need it more than ever before on the history of this planet. Our economy and our entire life is based on cheap energy. And right now, energy costs have gone through the roof. And that has contributed to the problems that we all face right now.
And the problems aren't scientific. The problems are political.
Some of them.
Keep this buried, most of them.
Yeah.
Why don't you elaborate on that?
Ability. Pardon me?
Why don't you elaborate on that? What did you mean by putting it that way?
Well, I'm not real comfortable about doing that because of what we do here. But if people look into it, they'll see that there have been a lot of discoveries that have been made that could free mankind up, that were bought up by large corporations and shelved. Things that have been discovered back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s that were a threat to economic security, so they had corporations buy it and put it on the shelf. For instance, the 110-mile-an-hour carburetor was a reality. Who Killed the Electric Car? That's a movie that's on YouTube if you want to find out more about it. And
we know in the 1920s, Tesla coined a phrase called the organized opposition. And he considered it was a loosely organized coalition of economic interests, political interests, and vested interests. I mean, like, you have a college professor who spends his entire life preaching the orthodox dogma, okay? Let's say, like, the limiting factor is the speed of light. And you have some whippersnappers, like we did in 1988 in the back room, go in there and demonstrate that magnetic forces travel faster than the speed of light, okay? And you confront a college professor with this, which we did, and I thought the guy was going to kill himself. You know, accused us of every trick in the book, you know, shoddy equipment. Well, we was using like a $15,000 Tektronix unit that was good to one picosecond that to measure our measurements with and everything. And in the end, he came around to accept it because Tesla said magnetic forces apparently move 34 times faster than the speed of light. And we proved it, you know. And so you have, like, it's almost like watching the irresistible force meet the immovable object, you know. You're just going to have this explosion there. And that's what you have every time you come out with a lot of the ideas we come out with and demonstrate. It takes a pretty strong-willed person to accept something like that and say, well, maybe I was wrong, or this is a new circumstance I need to incorporate into my belief system. And that's what we're going up against. And so it's just not a political thing. You're talking about an academic thing. You're talking about egos involved. You're talking about money involved, because corporations like to recover their money. Tesla once commented that even though they rejected some of his inventions, you know, it's because they weren't ready. They want a bigger return on their money, that they, you know, like on the alternating current system. and they weren't ready to embrace the new systems yet, but they would when they had no choice. And I think right now we're starting to arrive at that point where the choices are getting limited in what we can do physically. And it's a new age.
When I look at it, it's
kind of hate
really
that term new age, but you know what I mean.
It's really hard for someone.
New horizons are coming out.
Would you refer to these magnetic forces, the movement of these magnetic forces, since it moves faster than light, could that be, how do I put this, almost a different dimension?
Possibly, but it could also be, if you took a tube, okay, if you had like a, you stood away from this wall and you rolled a ball and hit the wall, right? It takes you so long to hit that wall, right, for that ball to roll across the floor. But if you take a whole tube, okay, and you have it flooded with balls, you hit one ball and immediately the effects are felt at the wall. You know, it's called action at a distance. And I believe that that could be what we're seeing here. And there's a big argument in physics about whether action at a distance is possible, and it's in conjunction with whether the ether really exists. You know, and once again, we're back to egos and trying to demonstrate very hard things to demonstrate.
The way I look at it is you have a scientist, mainstream scientist, and has spent thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars to get his PhD and learn everything that he's taught is supposed to be the way it is. And he looks at something that defies what he's learned, he doesn't believe it. And if he did believe it, he had to throw away all that he thought he knew in his lifetime. That's not easy to do. So I've heard stories of scientists that or inventors that have produced a machine that would really outperform anything else out there. And he was showing it at a conference. It was Jeffrey Hayes, who's going to be at our conference this year. He was showing his advantage of the Tesla turbine. And the scientists called him a fraud, screamed at him, kicked him off stage, saying that he was doing something else underhanded to make these kinds of results happen. Well, in order for these scientists to buy into what Jeffrey was telling them, it would go against the grain of their tenure that they have. They'd be ostracized by the other people in the university. And that's a lot to risk. So they would rather just say it was a fraud. Now, there are some of the scientists coming out of the closet, and there will be a lot of them at the conference that do think outside the box. One of them is Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher. And she told me one time that if there's an invention that I believe to be over unity, she's a hard-nosed scientist from Berkeley. And she says, I will rigorously test this unit. And if it does do what you say, I'll put my name on it. So there are scientists that are willing to do that. But it will have to pass the test. And there are a lot of people out there that try to pull the wool over people's eyes just for economic gain. And I'm trying to weed those out in my own mind here.
And there's another problem here, too.
Suppose
you're an investor, right? And you come in there and you're hearing about this new device, and it's supposed to be so far out, you know, that you know, so cool and everything. And you bring in your scientist, okay? Who could be the top scientist at any college or university or something, right? So he comes in there, and he looks at this thing. Well, if it's really working, it's going to be operating off something that he doesn't understand. But because he doesn't understand it, a lot of times he just, you know, just kind of call it a fraud and say there's some kind of trick there, you know, and everything, and poo-poo the idea to the investor, and boom, the investment walks away, the device never gets built. You know, and so you have a lot of that going on, too. And
yeah,
right now
they don't
I'm kind of working
it
with another
exist.
Organization who consists entirely of investors in that. And I think a lot of these guys are going to end up being at our conference. From what I hear, they're passing up their own conference to come to ours. But these guys have a win-win philosophy about them, and they really want to see a change in the world. But again, when they go to do their due diligence, which is what they're being taught, they just don't have a really qualified person to do it, because if you're so far advanced, you have no peers, so you can't really be peer-reviewed. You know, so we have to basically rely on empirically viewed stuff, and that's where a lot of scientists would turn away from and not, don't even look at it. Won't give it the time of day. And that hampers the development of these ideas.
Terry, you were trying to say something a while ago.
I think I said, but I intended to at the time.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was at the moment, but I'm enjoying the show
could,
and enjoying the flow.
If you could have one thing happen at this conference that you would consider to make it successful, what would that be?
I believe it's going to be successful regardless of what my answer might be to that. Every year, Steve has been doing this for 30 years. I've been doing it with Steve for 10. And every year it gets better and better and better, and it always feels like a success. And I enjoy being part of it because of that. It's not... making money, it's a labor of love. And that's what the whole conference is about. It's a labor of love.
I consider it a success when everyone has gone in there, they're able to learn a lot of stuff, they had a good time, they learned a lot, and everybody walks away with a good feeling about them. To me, that's success.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't get to see the speakers. I'm busy working the floor all the time. But when I see the people coming out from a particular demonstration or presentation, they're all going, wow, did you see that? Wow. We can do this? Wow. Every single speaker is doing that. To me, that's a real success.
We have area code 724 with a live mic. Do you have a question for Steve or Terry or a comment?
Yeah, hi, Terry. It's Dwayne.
Hi, Dwayne.
How are you?
And
I'm doing very good.
Good. I have a similar question as Red. You guys prayed over that water. I'm curious as to how that prayer went. I want to make sure I understand you guys are biblical people. But I want to make sure that our other callers, we weren't praying to Moloch or anything, were we? I mean, what kind of prayer was that, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
It was a prayer of intention that the water will have everything we need in it for our own use, our own health, and it's wonderful. And it's basically a prayer of love. We just send it love.
But who do you pray to the... What power are you praying to receive this answer to prayer?
The universal power, in my case.
Oh.
It's not directed at any particular organization. It's anyone can do it from any source of power that they are involved with.
Okay, well, that kind of answers my question. So, in my opinion, there's only two deities in the universe. One is the Father in heaven, and the other one is the dark side. But I don't know what your thoughts are, but that's the way I look at it. And
I look at love as being from the light side.
Okay, well, maybe I'll let the host and Red take it from here. But that was my question as to who is the deity that you're praying to receive the power, I guess is my question. So I'll let the host and Red take it from there.
It's the creator of all.
Well, personally, I believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you know, so I'm a King James Bible, you know, Jesus Christ person.
Well, and Yeshua is the creator, so if in that case you're speaking both to the same party.
Exactly.
Red, would you like to interject there?
Yes, I think I should. Years ago, I was on a construction job in South Dakota. And I had just read a book by Letourneau, the guy that built the scrapers and all that type of stuff, construction equipment. And I was late going in for lunch for some reason, and R.G. Letourneau had a DC-3 airplane. This is 1949, and there were a lot of DC-3 airplanes around, and he had about 20 of his engineers with him, and there was a subcontractor on the job that was having a lot of trouble with his Letourneau scrapers, and he was going to go under if he didn't get some help, and Letourneau heard about it. He was in Minneapolis, and he heard about it, so he flew out, and they landed that DC-3 out in the prairie in South Dakota. And R.G. Letourneau, nobody was expecting him. Nobody knew he was coming. And they came, and R.G. Letourneau himself went and worked with this contractor to figure out what was going wrong. And so he came in late for lunch, and I came in late for lunch. And it was just the two of us. And I had just read his book, God is My Partner. And this guy had a... he had a real dedication, a real commitment. One of the stories about R.G. Letourneau fits in here, I believe, because he went to Westinghouse Electric and asked them to develop an electric wheel. In other words, he wanted a wheel that was part of the electric motor driving the wheel. And Westinghouse studied it and discussed it, and then they decided that it couldn't be done. And they told R.G. Letourneau that there was no way he could that it could be done. R.G. Letourneau designed the wheel, and it worked. And of course, he told about it, and of course, I had just read his book, and I was just a kid at the time, and I'll never forget it because there was no question about in R.G. Letourneau's mind but that God was giving him the clues and such as to to be able to develop this thing. And I think this is something that we need more scientists today that are working with all this exotic stuff. if they would be asking their creator for inspiration, for direction. I think, and if they've got their commitment, to life and all, I think that we would see we would see some really fantastic things. And R.J. Letourneau gave the credit where it was due, and Westinghouse came and bought into part of his company, bought up part of his company after he developed the wheel that they said they couldn't do. They came and they bought into his company. But the difference was that he was relying on divine inspiration and direction. And it was a high point for me to, just as a young kid, I got out of high school in 47, and this was 49, so I wasn't too old. I was just about 20 years old, but it made a very lasting impression on me how that, our Heavenly Father is so creative and so, he is so creative and so productive. And he made man in his likeness. And if our Creator is innovative, if he is ingenious and inventive, then we should be trying to function in his likeness. And so I have detected a certain amount of that listening to these gentlemen talk. So I want them to know that they got a cheering section here with me. If they're on to that that key, if they're, recognizing what I'm saying here, and I'm not perhaps saying it as fluently as I should, but I would just say that if you are creative, recognize the source of that creativity. And give the source the proper credit and for any success. If the success comes because the Creator Himself becomes a partner with you, then we could see some really fabulous things happen. And it's probably I'm just letting my imagination run wild, but I don't think so. And so I'll shut up for now.
Well, I concur with that 100%. We can't do it without the Creator. And I think that love is the creation, and lack of love is the destruction. And there's the only two things we can do on this planet is create or destroy.
Let me add something here that we may not have considered as well as much as we should. We've got a lot of discussion going on in our country today about medical marijuana, and I've been quite ill, and it was recommended to me that I access some of this refined or whatever, I don't know, it's a liquid, and a good Baptist friend of mine, he thought it was terrible that I would be using something that is a banned product. The product I use is not a banned product, but anyway, I told him, I said, they tell us that the hemp plant, old William Randolph Hearst was a real outlaw, and he's the one that started using the Spanish name for hemp and saying that it was bad, and that's another story, of course. But here's a plant the scientists tell us that it has so many different elements involved. Hundreds, in excess of 200, whereas most plants only have a half a dozen or so. And so I told this Baptist friend of mine, I said, you know, God put that plant here for our use and for our benefit. Wouldn't it make sense to believe that old Satan would try to make it so that we can't access that which God has given to us? Do you suppose we've got a satanic influence that is keeping free energy, over unity, units of all kinds? Do you suppose that we have satanic influence that is keeping us from getting that that free energy that our Creator put there for us? Now, that may sound a little off the wall, but I'll let you cogitate on that one.
Well, what I'd like to say about it is I had a wonderful wife for 8 years. She died in 06, and she was disabled, bleeding on the brain. And when she would be bleeding, she'd have terrible pain going through her body, and she wouldn't eat. And if she would smoke this, she would eat. So we confronted her neurologist, because it is supposed to be legal here for medical use. And the neurologist says, I can write you a letter of recommendation for it, but I cannot prescribe it because it's controlled by the federal government. And in Psalms, it says, behold, I've given you every herb and every plant on this earth for your use. And I think, I think that is trying to be overruled by a higher authority. I'm being satirical there. And it's just that this control system, this control mechanism, needs to control every single facet of our lives right now. And I didn't think this way maybe even 5 years ago, but I'm seeing it happen in so many different ways that I can't ignore this any longer. I know that it's a plan. But I also, on the same token, know enough that God is taking care of all this for us, and we won't have to worry about this in the not-too-distant future. And I can't elaborate on that right now because of different things that are going on. But I guess that's all I have to say about that. We could be completely debt-free if we had hemp plants that were legal. But our system is based on debt. They don't want us to be out of debt, because then they will have no more control over us. And that's all I have to say.
Well, there's some interesting makeup, and maybe you can talk about this. And I, by the way, Steve, when I'm down in Albuquerque, I hope we can have a private conversation about what you just mentioned. But hemp has some interesting qualities to it that could protect us today, does it not? Like if we were using it in clothing and things like that. And to be specific about what I'm talking about, I'm talking about there's some possible resistance to like scalar weaponry, perhaps. You guys gotten into that at all?
Well, it's been a while since I've been down that road. But first of all, I'm against a lot of laws. I'm a born rebel. My great-grandfather is the best moonshiner in West Virginia, so we kind of pick and choose the stuff we follow. But I believe that everything should be legalized, and people will either get over it or under it, one or the other, you know. And that's their decision. And so I'm one of those ultra-libertarians in that respect. But I spent my whole life, you know, trying to break the laws of physics here, you know, and violating things like the second law of conservation with these free energy devices and that. And that's kind of like where I come from with my whole philosophy when I put these conferences together and that. And I look forward to the people being able to prove their stuff, because so often you have these people out here that are making these claims and they're lying to you. Maybe lying's too strong a word, but for some, it's not. And they just love telling tall tales. And the problem is that it muddies the field, so it's hard to believe what's really happening out here in the field of physics and that. And I hope that people come to our conference and can see for themselves and touch these devices, experience these devices. I mean, we have, like, on the medical side, we have all these different devices these guys are talking about. They're going to be right there. You can sit at them, try them out, see if it works for you. Yeah.
And there are lifelike patches.
That's kind of where I'm coming from.
They instantly show you they work.
I couldn't hear you because you were talking over each other. What did you say, Steve?
Oh, go ahead, Steve.
Or Terry. What
yes.
did you say, Terry?
I was talking about LifeWave, that these LifeWave patches display instantly that they work. Within moments of putting it on your skin, your pain goes away. Now, it takes a little bit of knowledge to find out exactly where to place them, but there's a protocol that's quite easy to do. And if you've got a hip problem or a knee problem or just overexertion even, and you have buildup of lactic acid in your legs or your arms after a strong workout, you put these patches on, it goes away within seconds. And it's non-invasive. It's non... what's that word? No side effects.
Non-transdermal.
Right. It's non-transdermal, no side effects, because nothing enters your body. And they have the pain patches. They have ones for glutathione, which I'm not real schooled in what glutathione does, but I know that it's needed in great larger doses than what's happening now. It's got EM patches, which are life extension type patches, which actually reverse the aging process. There's also one for if you are overweight and you want to lose some weight. The reports I've been getting back from people that are using them are that they used to have urges in between meals for snacks, and they don't have that anymore with these patches, because it makes the cells absorb the nutrients properly. Most of our food just goes right through us and doesn't get absorbed, what little nutrition is in it. But these patches help your body to assimilate the nutrients properly, and you don't get hungry anymore. The reasons why a lot of people are overweight is because all the food that they're eating, if they don't watch what they're eating, high in sugar, things like that, it fools the body into thinking you're full, and you have energy for a while, but you're not getting the building blocks that you need, because all the nutrition is gone out of the food. With these patches, if there is any nutrition in what you're eating, it will nutritionalize the body, and your body won't be hungry all the time. At least that's the way I understand it, anyway.
Well, you keep talking like that, you might find Red Beckman showing up in Albuquerque.
Well, we'll patch him up and see if he gets 5 years younger at the conference.
Well, the glutathione patches are being tested by the Army right now. And because they could test that by looking at glutathione levels in the blood. And high glutathione levels means quicker healing if you get shot or something, more endurance, you know, all the good stuff a good soldier needs. Yeah.
And what about that machine that they're going to have there to display that, Steve? The machine that they're going to have?
When I was in the Army, I was in the infantry, and I carried a 90mm. Trust me, you can use all the stamina you can get.
Somebody in our chat room was wanting to know, it was Jan from Montana, by the way, is wanting to know a little bit more about that patch that you're talking about. I don't think it came through very clear to her what you were discussing there. She'd like to hear more about that.
Well, she can go to the website. It's lifewave.com. And my distributor number, let's see if I can find that here. It's sponsored by Suzanne Summers. She is an ambassador for LifeWave.
I've seen those ads online.
Let's see, here we go. LifeWave, where are we at here?
It's really taken off in Japan right now.
He told me that most of the sales are overseas right now. 90% of the sales are overseas. And there are a lot of people in the United States taking them in sports arena areas, but they don't talk about it because they get an edge that they don't want to have other people know about. Just go to lifewave.com and type in, the number is 749-625. That's the Tesla Tech LifeWave. Account.
Red?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just making sure you were still live.
Oh, yeah.
Thought we might have dropped you there for a second.
But there's going to be, what kind of machine is that, Steve? A thermal imaging unit?
Yeah, thermal imaging camera. It's the stuff they use, it's the same type of camera you use to, like, if you've ever done any welding in that and you have to inspect for x-rays, a lot of times they use, like, thermal imaging cameras in that to see the cracks in that. Or even, like, to view houses, you know, to look through houses, you know, you can see how people move inside of them through their thermal heat. That's what this thing is, a thermal imaging camera that NASA uses. And they can take a picture of a person, and the pain will show up as red on the person because, you know, that pain typically generates heat. And then what happens is they put the patch on and you come back in 15 minutes and take another picture, you know, ask you how you're doing, and they can show you where the pain's been dissipated, you know. So it's really incredible stuff. They've taken a subjective experience and changed it into an objective observation. Which is what science should be about.
And then we also have the Tesla lights guy. Can you explain a little about that, Steve?
I'm not familiar with his work.
He's got the thing like Gene Quince has, but it's got two of them or four of them. Two of them, I believe.
Okay, it'd be like a vibe machine. Basically, it's a Tesla coil with 12 heads on it. Each head will have a tube of a noble gas, like neon, xenon, and that. And it's throwing out all these multiple frequencies of the plasma in the gas. And it's kind of like taking a shotgun effect to healing what ails you there. And that'd be a Tesla light. Some people call it a vibe machine as a variation of that. But that's almost a direct Tesla type invention. Yeah.
What it does is it resonates with the original cellular structure that your DNA was born with, and it allows your body to heal itself.
now. You might elaborate on that, because I'm not sure I followed what you were saying.
Well, everything is frequency. Your DNA is a frequency. Every person's DNA is a different frequency. It's like a fingerprint. Everybody has a different frequency. What this machine does is it reads the frequencies from your DNA, and through the pollution that is now out there, electromagnetic and other types of pollution, chemical, your DNA gets out of frequency, out of phase. And what this machine does is it reads that and puts it back into phase with your original DNA sequence. And by doing that, it allows your body to heal itself. And it's, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it, I must admit, but this is the second year he'll be there. I sat under it last year, and it did rejuvenate me, personally. It gave me energy and rejuvenated my system, because I was in pretty bad shape last year. It really helped. I don't know how else to make it more clear that the person was on here that has the machine. He could actually tell you a lot more, I'm sure.
Well, Red has a frequency machine in his home. So, Red, do you want to tell us about your frequency machine?
Well, I have they call it a Rife machine. In fact, if you hear a little humming noise, my wife came in the room and turned it on. I can't tell that it's making much of a difference at this point. However, talking to some people that have had good results with it, they say it takes quite a bit of time. We have a technician that comes and checks us out on it, and he had MS, and he got a machine just like what I'm using, and he said it took 6 months, but it's gone. The MS is gone, but he does use it about twice a week just to maintain, his system. I also have a Vibe machine. We have not turned it on for about 4 years, I think. And it really, we couldn't tell that it did anything for the rheumatoid arthritis. But people who expose themselves to the thing with osteoarthritis, they had good results, and also some people with diabetes had good results. And so, there's something there, and of course right now the company that builds those machines is under FDA surveillance or whatever, and they've had to more or less be very careful about how they describe their machines and sell their machines, I suppose. I'm guessing that they are still available. They're built not too far from where you're at, Terry, just north of you up there in the Fort Collins area.
Yeah.
It isn't Fort Collins. It's another town there right close. I can't remember exactly which one it is.
Lovren,
but right there in Colorado where they built them. But
the story on that is that they're going for FDA approval. And until they get it...
FDA said they've got to... they sent out labels that we had to put on the machines, on the machine, and of course, this stuff gets a little pricey. The Rife machine I have was $7,000, and the Vibe machine was about $16,000, I think, if I remember right. Because I've had that live machine now for about 8 years, I think. And we just parked it and covered it, and we haven't used it then because it we just couldn't tell that it was doing anything whatever for my physical problem.
I have had experience with that with the lady that was staying here who had, I don't remember what she had, but a lot of things wrong with her. And that was the only thing that gave her any relief. And I was taking her down to a lady in town here who had one for, before she moved, she was set up in business, and we'd go down there and pay a little bit to sit under it. And it was the only thing that really helped this lady.
We had a number of people that tried different, you know, with different ailments, but we couldn't really, we didn't have anything to brag about.
Well, keep trying it. He is going for FDA approval, and I wanted to ask you, do you have a tube-type Rife machine, or is it a solid-state?
I can't remember. It's solid state, if I remember right. It's oh, God grief, I can't think of the name of it, but it's resonant light. It's a different technology. And I've got to say this. It was recommended that I go to this particular machine by a medical doctor who had experience with one of these resonant light machines. He had been in the practice in California, and he had a retired doctor that he had become acquainted with who had one of these resonant light machines like I've got here, and they had just all kinds of tremendous results with it. They had a horse that wasn't doing too well, so they took it down in the barn and set it up in the barn, and all of the horses came. All of the horses came and crowded around. They wanted to get in on that. Dogs are the same way. They can sense that that you've got this thing going, and they'll come and lay down in front, close to the machine. You know, it's I can't explain it. I just haven't even attempted to. Seeing as how it was a medical doctor that recommended that I get the machine, and I'm going to continue. I'm on a pretty well. I'm trying to follow the directions as close as I can. So many minutes, 5 days a week, and then 2 days off. And then of course there's some frequencies for pain and all different kinds of things. They've got a good track record from what I can you know, from what I hear. The machine came out of Canada.
Well, that's not very good.
The difference between a Rife machine and these other machines is the Rife machine is like a rifle, and they target specific cells or specific types of cells, and that frequency will go in there and vibrate to the point where it literally explodes. And when Rife was doing it, he found that if he got better results if people skipped a few days rather than doing it every day, because it allows the body to go, immune system, come in there and clean away the destroyed cells. Otherwise, what you have is you just get a bunch of toxins that are building up in your body. And that's why they have the time intervals for you. And that's because they're giving you specific frequencies for the condition that you have.
Yeah, I also have an Abrams machine, if you know what that is. I don't think they're that well known. I can't tell that it had made any difference on me for me. I guess I'm just not a good a good salesperson for all these different things.
But Abrams machine,
I'm not
do you
kidding.
Mean that's like a
what?
An Abrams machine, is that like a radionics device?
How's that?
Is it like a radionics
Abrams
device?
The Abrams
I'm not
machine.
Sure
like
I understand
radionics.
I don't hear the best. The right machine isn't fixing that problem.
Speak up, Steve.
Well, I was wondering if that was a radionics device. I was trying, because I heard the term before, I just can't remember where.
Your Adams device, is it radionic? Hello?
I'm listening. I'm not getting everything. I'm not understanding what everybody is saying, but I'm trying. So keep talking.
Okay, let me try it one more time. Is it a radionics device?
I don't know. I've never heard it called that. It's a Rife machine because it's all frequencies. All these different frequencies that are available on this machine. Like I say, the doctor that recommended it to me, that I give it a try, he'd had good experience with it. And of course, the technician that has come and worked with us, he had a good response with his multiple sclerosis, which is a tough nut to crack too, but it took 6 months, he said, to get rid of it. And now he just he says I try to go on it twice a week just for maintenance. And he lives in a townhouse. You know, where the houses are almost one on top of another. His neighbor is a lady with diabetes. And when he started using that machine in his house, she started noticing that she wasn't needing as much insulin. And she cut her insulin back by 50%. It's supposed to reach
Steve?
Out about 50 feet and through glass, through walls, through everything.
Steve, were you asking about the Rife machine or the Abrams machine?
The Abrams, but I looked it up. Yeah. It looks like it's an early radio device, similar to the Rife device.
Do any of these work on the pancreas?
That's where
I wouldn't know. I couldn't tell you. If I had a problem with pancreas, I'd be trying a Rife machine.
The one thing to keep in mind is we're not doctors, and we can't prescribe or diagnose anything. All we could do is describe our own experiences with it. Okay. But at our conference, you know, we will have some people who are MDs, and they can look at it better and closer. I do know that a friend of mine, her mother was supposed to be dying, or supposed to be dead already, of her liver falling up, you know, dying and everything. She had a big cyst in it. And she started using one of the photon genies, which will be demonstrated at our conference, since August of last year, and they did an MRI on her in March, and the cyst had actually shrunk quite a bit. You know, they believe it's, they don't know why it shrunk, but we're pretty sure it's what we're doing with the Photon Genie. So,
well, I think the Rife story,
I think, really needs to be understood and needs to be heard by the American people, because here was a very creative, a very innovative guy. He was a very intelligent man, and you know, he built that fabulous microscope of his that has never really been duplicated, and he was doing such a fantastic work, curing people, helping people get cured of their cancers in particular. And he was basically shut down by the American Medical Association. And I think that's what we have to, the message that we have to get from the Rife story is the fact that, and of course that's one reason why I have the opinion that the opposition to marijuana is satanic in origin. It's, you know, Satan does not want us to use the plants that our Heavenly Father created for us. And he, you know, Rife built a tremendous machine, and he was, and I remember this. I mean, this is stuff that happened in my lifetime. Back in the late 30s and the early 40s, there was a lot of talk in this country from one side of the country to the other about this guy that is curing these cancers. And it was not hard to understand or comprehend. He would take a cells from a living cancer, put it on his microscope. He would watch the cells on the slide in the microscope as he adjusted his frequency machine, and when he hit the right frequency, it just destroyed those cells. Well, now he had the frequency of the cancer, and he would focus his machine on the cancer. And boy, it was gone. It demolished it. And when you think of all of the millions of people probably that we've had since that time that have died and lived miserably, a terrible pain and terrible suffering, he had something that was God's gift to man, and it was stolen. It was taken away by some satanic forces. And I'm not saying that the medical profession is satanic, but it's a place where you really got to be careful. I'll tell you that. I've spent a lot of money over the last 20 years with this arthritis, and a lot of it has been, you know, I've been on Celebrex and Vioxx, and I've been on, well, there's five of them, Methotrexate, and there's five of those things, the pharmaceuticals, and I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't that back about 3 or 4 years ago I said, no more. I've had it with those things. Don't bring them around. Don't give them to me. Because I know they're doing a lot of damage. And I know what can happen. They bury their mistakes, and they don't get charged with murder. They bury their mistakes. And I didn't want to be one of those mistakes.
Well, this brought up an interesting topic because I was wanting to kind of go where Red took this conversation, and I think Red was his thoughts were acting like, or mine were acting like radio waves to Red, because the FDA, and I'm not a part of your group, and I'm not speaking for Tesla here, I'm speaking for me, the FDA, I don't believe, has our best interest at heart. I believe that especially the higher-ups in the FDA, especially those who put people into positions there, like the owners of Monsanto, et cetera, I believe that those people want to squelch things that are going to reduce pharmaceutical profits, and I believe that they deliberately put things into the market, like aspartame, for example, and soy and all of our processed food, et cetera, those sort of things that are making us sick, that are changing our body chemistry to an unhealthy condition, that's increasing appetites, and in essence, killing people. So, you know, seeking FDA approval, in my mind, if the FDA goes after somebody, that might be a very good sign that, in fact, it may be something worthwhile. I feel about them about the same way I do about a good preacher. If a good preacher hasn't made somebody's blacklist, he's probably not worth his salt. And so that's the way I kind of feel about the FDA. If they've approved something, watch out. And if they think something has got a problem, it's probably got a problem for their profit margins. So there's my two cents.
Terry, this may seem to people out there in the audience that we have drifted away from the guests that you've got on the program tonight. However, if they were so evil that they would shut down somebody like Royal Rife and what he was doing for people, don't we have to assume that they would shut somebody down that was producing free electricity, free energy? It's the same gang of outlaws. It's the same thing. And so we've got the evidence what they did to Royal Rife. They ruined this man.
Look what they did.
They destroyed him. And here we've got millions of people that have died from these cancers that could have been cured over these years. And here we are. We're under the thumb of the big energy companies, electric and fossil fuels and all of that. And it's the same kind of mentality on the part of these government regulators and such. I'll just have to be blunt. I think it's satanic. I know that there are ways to produce free electricity. I know that. No question in my mind. But people are afraid. They have been intimidated. There's been people that have disappeared because they had the audacity to put these machines together and then try to sell them and such. And so we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and powers. And I think we need to understand that. And I think that the people that are going to be at this conference need to pray special prayers that our Creator God would put a hedge around them to protect them from these evil forces. And I'll shut up there.
I don't think we could have gone 30 years without that protection.
Well, you know, I was supposed to be dead so many times, I can't even count them, you know. And the one time I believe I actually was leaving my body, I was pushed back into it and said, no, it's not your time to go, you know. I have been attacked, okay? And I have also been approached by people within who told me that I was on the radar and they had my back. You can't view government as a monolithic structure. It's made out of people, and there's good people and there's bad people in there. Okay? And sometimes the bad people get the upper hand, and sometimes the good people get the upper hand. And so I'm not really opposed to government one way or the other. You know, it's the people who you have to watch for. And I believe that with this conference, you know, and the advent of the internet, so much information is out there and in the open now. It makes it extremely hard for them to keep a secret. And once that becomes impossible for them to keep a secret, there's no percentage in trying to destroy it, the messenger. Then it becomes, how do I take advantage of this? So change is in the air, and it's coming. And this is ideas cannot be stopped for much longer.
Exactly. And I don't even think it's the governments. I think there's 33 families that run this planet, and they tell the governments what to do.
I think they try, but like I say, you know, you have good people, you have bad people inside of them, you know,
right.
And the good people will watch over you. You know, it's just like life anywhere.
Well, gentlemen,
and one
of
good things I do see happening is the Department of Energy is starting to put money into the zero-point energies and the stuff that we have at our conference, that type of material, they're starting to look for now, and they don't want any more of the conventional solar in that. They don't want to put government money in that, but they're looking at helping the exotic stuff come out, and that's a good sign.
Hello? The turning of the tides, as I look at.
Well, the problem is that these Satanists, these Luciferians, have taken control of like 90% of the infrastructure of the world. They have created a vortex, an economic vortex that steals the wealth of the people. And they are able to purchase and create industries like our entertainment industry, like they purchased our media. They're the ones that could afford to put the satellites in the sky. So they've taken control, and they put their people who do what they want in key positions. They control it. They hire and fire them. They hire and fire basically our politicians and our judges. And they're the ones that have created all these tax exempt foundations that in essence conspired to take over our education system, which they so effectively did. So I agree that there's good people out there, but those good people tend to be squelched and bought off or scared off by the money that these Luciferians have controlled. And we've abdicated this. We can't blame them. We've got to point the finger straight at ourselves. But it's wonderful that you guys are continuing to put forth this technology and bring these concepts to the surface, because it has to be done. It needs to be done.
Well, we cannot win in a war against them, but we can win if we build something much better than what they have. And they'll want to become part of it. If they don't, that's the Almighty Maker will take care of that.
Well, I'd like to think, you know, that what we do with our conferences and our magazine, our website, our publications, is we educate people. And as people, as light starts shining, you know, it's like a fire, you know, the more you feed it, you know, the brighter it gets and that. And soon, it becomes an unstoppable force, you know. God puts all the powers that be in the position, whether it's good or bad, you know. He makes that quite clear a couple times in the Bible. And if you turn to him, you'll always be saved, you know. And you don't worry about the stuff down here, just worry about up there, you know. And that's got me through so much, you know. Like, when I lost everything, and I didn't have two nickels to rub together when I got to Queen Valley. And I had to work, you know, for this guy. I was lucky for the job, where I got $6 an hour putting rocks on this hill and arranging them real nice and neat, you know, in 120-degree weather, you know. Gave me a lot of time to meditate and thank God for just being, you know, because I could have been dead. And when you're dead, there's nothing if you're focused down here. So I don't let this stuff bother me at all. You know, I just keep trucking away. You know, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm doing what the good Lord wants me to do, he'll take care of it one way or the other. I think I scare Terry sometimes because I take off on these things, you know, and I know it doesn't make any rhyme or reason to him, but I take a step in faith every time I do one of these conferences.
Well, I see that as very important, Steve. That's important to me. You know, I believe that the battles that we're fighting today they seem to be political battles. They seem to be economic battles. But the fact of the matter is the real battle is a spiritual battle. And I believe that our faith is our most important thing to hang on to. They can kill me, but they can't kill my soul. And they cannot keep me from being sustained eternally unless I drop my faith, unless I make a choice to surrender to the likes of what they worship. And they want us to worship them. Their Lord wants to be God, and he's not God, and that's the long and the short of it. And that's really what the ultimate goal of these people is. That's why they don't think for one second about taking out millions of people or doing things that works against humanity, because they don't have any sense of being sustained on an eternal basis.
Well, I think you know, the greatest thing that we have in our arsenal is knowledge, you know, and that's what we try to provide at this conference. And I invite everyone out there to come to our conference, you know, get yourself educated, arm yourself, you know, with knowledge, you know, and then become part of the light, you know, and don't stay part of the darkness, you know. Because if you're not light, you know, you know.
Well, the thing is, the light people far outnumber those few individuals that want to do evil. We far outnumber them. It's just that we have to do it ourselves. We have to realize that we do have a choice and not just stick our head in the sand and accept all these benefits coming from the government when we can do it ourselves. We can get off the grid ourselves. We can grow
our own food.
You
may come to this conference, see this invention and everything, tell the inventor, wow, do you ever think about this? And boom, a light will come off, you know, and you might be the one to solve a problem that has plagued mankind for millions of years, you know.
Yep.
Anything's possible. You know, anything's possible at these conferences, you know. And you can have a great time. You're going to meet a lot of people there. If you like to dance, we're going to have dancing outside and some karaoke probably. Bring your own earplugs. My voice isn't that good. But other than that, you know, I think everyone would have a great time. You know. If
it's
you're homeschooling.
It's like a family reunion to me. And every year it's great to see the same people coming back again. But we need to get more people coming in and exposed to it, especially younger people. I'd like to see, well, we have a special for students. If they have a student ID, we have a special rate for them.
And if they're really young students, you know, if you're talking like under 16, you know, hey, under 16 is free. If there's room.
I thought when Terry was talking about it, when he said young people, he was talking about under 50.
You know, I'd love to make this thing totally free for everyone. And we do work certain specials for people in special conditions, but we still have to pay for the ballpark. And Steve nor I, either one of us, make any kind of what you might call a salary on this. And it's a labor of love. So if we can get more people on a paid admission, we can let more people in on a reduced one that they can afford. There's so many people out there would love to come, and they can't afford it. And we do what we can, but sometimes it's not quite enough. I'd like to make the whole conference free for everyone. And I would if I had the money.
Yeah, and this one invention I seen last week at the MPA conference, I was really intrigued with. This gentleman, he lives out in the wilderness there, you know, out in the middle of nowhere. He come up with this idea of taking and burnishing copper with a welding torch, you know, and burnish it, bring out the free electrons on it and that. And then he takes in the, I don't know if he glues it or what he does to it, but he puts zinc on the back side of it, right? So you have two metals together, and that makes a battery. And then he puts this coating on, you know, like a different colors of coating in that. Like looks like a paint in that. And it's a solar cell. And he gets like 2 volts per cell out of these things, which is better than the silicon ones, because the silicon ones you get 1.4 volts out of, because even though it produces 2.1, you use 7/10 of a volt just to force bias to conduct. These things conduct directly. Fascinating stuff. You build this thing at home, you can make a roof out of this stuff. You know, because it's metal. You can make a metal roof out of it. But yet this guy is dirt poor. It took every penny he had just to come to the conference there. You know, and he lived in the area. Those are the kind of guys I'm looking for and trying to get to this conference, you know. Super ideas, you know, that they could bring and show, and maybe just find someone who wants to look in a further and help them move forward with that idea. That was a really super idea.
Are there any scholarships available for people with technology or a particular interest, students, for example, that may be in a particular field that couldn't afford to come but want to be there? Is there any kind of way to get scholarships for people like that?
What we have is if they become a member, it's $30 a year to be a member. And they're willing to work, you know, we put them in our volunteer program. And they can work it off. And but we try to limit that as much as possible, because like Terry says, you know, right now we got to break even. You know, if I break even, that's a successful conference from a financial viewpoint. You know, if I can walk out of that hotel and all my bills are paid,
it takes about $30,000 to put the conference on.
No, that's just the hotel bill.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, yeah. Well, gentlemen,
and every year in December we put out a call for papers, and that's when we're looking. You know, if anyone has a good invention, that's when they should contact us. You know, and that's why they need to get on our email list.
That's where Steve picks his speakers.
Off of the call for papers.
Right.
Yes, it's just a short abstract and a short biography of what you want to speak about. It has to be submitted to Steve by the first of the year, usually. And he chooses the speakers from there. And speakers get
the hotel
room. Yeah,
because we have to have this information to everybody by February so people can start making their plans.
Gotcha. Well, that's good to know. We've got about 5.5 minutes left tonight. And I just want to make sure you guys, if there's something you wanted to share with our listeners or any information you want to disseminate, we get it out here within the next 5 minutes.
Basically, I'd encourage them to go up to our website, www.teslatech.info. And we have our programs available as PDF files right up there, and they can also sign up for the conference there.
Or they can call me at 520-463-1994. All my calls right now have to go to an answering machine, so just please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as your name pops up on my next call back. It's been, sometimes I sit here, I have 10 people to call back. So be patient, I will get back with you.
And bring a friend. Yep. Bring a friend, you get an extra 5% off.
Well, and I just heard you say kids under 16 are free.
Now, yeah.
And I also understand that the hotel rooms, when you pay $79 for a room, you can have up to 3 people in a room. So.
Yes, it's quite a deal, but they have to sign up soon because we're running out of rooms real fast right now. We block off a certain number of rooms, and we guarantee that we'll fill those rooms, and when they get full, I don't know what happens afterwards. Steve would have to fill us in on that, but I think they're $99
a night. We're at the mercy of the hotel. They keep letting us have them cheap, so, and we've already filled up. We already made our quota, so but just keep calling in and getting those rooms. They'll go ahead and honor the price, you know. They're very good to me. That hotel really appreciates us and our conference and that.
Now, that's the Marriott Pyramid North. Is that correct?
Right.
Yes.
In Albuquerque. And that's where the conference is located. So, you know, if you book a room there, you get the special rates, you get free breakfast, you get free internet, and you're at the location of the conference. Correct?
Correct.
Absolutely.
And being at the location saves a lot of money. I was in Washington, D.C., and their conference is at a college, and it cost me $15 each way to the hotel. That adds up too fast.
Yeah. Okay, now, they just have to say when they call into the hotel that they're a part of the Tesla group, correct?
Tesla, Extraordinary Technology. If they have a problem, call us up.
The number that Terry gave a while ago, call Terry at that 1994, right?
Yeah, we can get most things ironed out, you know. Sometimes the front desk don't know what the back office says, so we just get it straightened out.
Red,
the entire management team knows us. I've had breakfast with them, you know. They're a great group of people, and it's a very polite hotel staff, you know. They'll bend over backwards to make you stay comfortable. And the food's pretty good, too.
And this is not a part of the Marriott chain. In other words, it's not owned by the main corporate Marriott group, correct?
The hotel is not owned by the Marriott Group. It's owned by John Hammond. See, the way these hotel chains operate, there may be a few that's owned by the chain, but most of them are like franchises, like McDonald's or Burger King and that. You're going to find that the people here are very, very pleasant. Their biggest customer is the Archdiocese up in Santa Fe. That's where they have all their weddings at. And last year I had to fight with the Archdiocese, kind of, you know, over space. This year I got in so early that they didn't have a chance.
Well, gentlemen,
but yeah,
thank
so
you.
It's a really nice place.
We're up against the wall on the end of our show here, and I just want to give Red 30 seconds to put in a final word, but I really appreciate you guys a lot, and I look forward to getting to know you. Well, the music has started, so Red, see you next week, brother, and I'll be talking to you in the meantime. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Steve, for joining us tonight on Balls in Our Minds.
Thank you, Terry, very much.
What a show! On any show. shoulder that I can find. If anyone in there might change their mind, it's time to go. To the real world outside with those viruses. You can say the dirty lips. They rule the night. They rule the night. Be afraid of the wicked men. There's more of us than there are of them. Come join the fight. Follow me.